And we're back with What's Ailing America, who our answer today is destruction of families, and we're talking globally, although my two guests today are from the UK. You've been hearing from Andrew Peacher for the last hour, and now I'd like to bring on Sam Edwards, founder of One Voice for the Kids. You can access his website at onevoiceforthekids.org.uk. Sam, welcome to the show, and I'm so excited at the variety of things that you and your members are coming up with to put the kidnapping and abuse of our children right in the face of those who are doing it. And isn't it funny how Mr. Cameron doesn't want this to happen?
Well, first of all, thank you again for allowing me to come on your show. It's always a pleasure talking to the American audience. Mr. Cameron, in my own personal opinion, I've written to him on various occasions, and the latest response I've had from his office is that I am not allowed to arrange a meeting with the Prime Minister. There is no underlining reason as to why he won't meet me, but it's not possible to make an arrangement to meet him. It is amazing that
Wait a minute. There's no reason. He's your Prime Minister. He's your public servant. They just said no can do. That's it. Case closed.
No reason. Right? None at all.
Okay.
But it is amazing, as you say, that Mr. Cameron, albeit that he's not the man with the white cat in his lap and his little finger in his mouth and uttering the word wah-ha-ha. But basically, he banning or not allowing any protest to happen on that particular day is an infringement and a contravention of human rights. But as we know around the world, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights means nothing. So Andrew is absolutely right in saying what he did, which is we are going to protest on that day.
You just ignore them. They have no right to make this caveat that you cannot protest. And I just want to, highlight, you don't just have a United States audience. This is a worldwide audience on this show. And that's why I'm so glad that you're going to be joining the network shortly. But, yes, in fact, the fact that, he won't meet with you, and, B, they're saying you can't protest. Excuse me. Your dictums are null and void, and we're going to totally ignore it. And it's going to be peaceful, although you have to watch out for the provocateurs that I'm sure will be there. That's why, people have to have their telephone camcorders ready to actually videotape anybody that does start a problem, because they work for the government, because this is their modus operandi in terms of how they try to make the people that are actually trying to bring issue to an important point out to be the bad guys. But I know that and I know that you're getting ready.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
yeah, we're getting ready, okay. Definitely, yeah, we're getting ready. I've got to be honest, I do have my reservations about this particular protest in July. Purely, the reason why I say that is because, it hasn't mattered so far, so why is this one so different? Well, I'll tell you the reason why it's so different is because many of the world leaders are going to be there, many of the world's countries are going to be there, and more importantly, the world's press and media are going to be available right at our fingertips. And the idea really is to get in front of as many of these lenses as possible, really. We know it's a mammoth task, and everybody knows that I have some major reservations as to what's going on. Basically, I want to talk about something very briefly, which is kind of the same thing, albeit in a different country. I want to talk about a fantastic man, many of them actually, many fantastic men and women who helped to run an orphanage in Uganda, a place called Kampala. And my plan there, I think Robert's listening, so good evening, Robert. I think it's way past his bedtime over there. I think it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I believe it's about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning over there now. So bless him, he's still awake and he's going to listen to the show. So hello, Robert, again. Basically, they're living in squalid conditions. They have outside toilets, which is nothing more than a cubicle with a ground floor, if you like, with cement hole. And young children are exposed to that kind of condition. They're also exposed to a kitchen which can only be described as an outdoor shed. An outdoor shed that is, I would say, broken in many areas. And it's, again, it's like a concrete slab where there's another big hole where they put wood, and then it's a big kind of cauldron pot, and it's exposed to all the elements of flies and mosquitoes, and children are eating this food, and I think this is disgusting, and the government in Uganda is not lifting a finger to help. So I've
okay,
now
wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I have to interrupt you, because not okay. only that, Uganda is where the zombie disease is taking place, and that is from inoculations, where children are being inoculated with vaccines that are creating zombies, which is a death sentence. So there's lots of bad things happening in Uganda. Go ahead. Yeah.
But the one of the points that Robert made to me very early on in our relationship, as you know, finding each other, basically, he was introduced to me. And I'm very glad that I've now forged this major alliance with the organisation, the orphanage that he runs. And I've got to say that the children's faces, and I saw them for the first time today via Skype, and the smiles on their faces that Robert and co-workers are helping to produce, they don't take anything for granted. They really don't, and they have got such wonderful smiles on their faces, and it's really nice to see it. And on the worldwide peaceful protest, they did one for us in Uganda, and I was very, very honoured that they did that. And both Andrew and I have got a very nice photograph from the children in that orphanage that made up signs, and they said, "Long live Sam Edwards and long live Andrew Peacher, one voice for the kids." And I can't tell you how happy I was to see it, with tears streaming down my face, which it was heartwarming. It was absolutely phenomenal. You know, they really are up against the worst kind of conditions. And we take it for granted that we have all these amenities near us, like shops and healthcare. We take it for granted, you know, and they haven't got the basics. So I've put together a committee, and it's been not approved. In principle, it has. The idea has got a lot of merit, and I won't say the airline, because obviously I can't do that, but an airline has provisionally said that they will charter us two aircraft to, one, take people over there, to help and assess the situation of what we're going to do, and also the other chartered flight is to take over the equipment that we're going to need and vital supplies, you know, basics, you know, and this is not going to be a one-off. The airline itself has said that if this is going to be an ongoing thing, then they will more than happy, in principle again, help us in any way they can. And I am absolutely in awe of that company. And if this does work, I mean, we are looking for, you know, fully qualified electricians, plasterers, builders, even, you know, anybody who knows their way around a screwdriver, you know what I mean? If they can hold a paintbrush and put paint on it and paint something, then do it, you know. We're looking about, say, 200 odd people that are going to come across and help us.
You know, again, if this is going out worldwide, then I'd appreciate anybody who knows their way around any kind of labour, if you like, hard labour. If you're not a stranger to hard labour, we need to hear from you. And you can contact me through my website, which is onevoiceforthekids.org.uk.
Okay, yeah, wait, go ahead. Sam. The most important thing you have to do is teach these people not to take the needle. Not to take the needle. That's the most important thing they have to do. They've been surviving for decades, generations, centuries, without any problem until the man with the needle came in to call. So that's the most important thing, in my opinion, that you have to do, is get them to say no to the vaccines. And one of the really corrupt things that's going on is they bring in the Christian missionaries to teach them about Jesus, but they've always got the vaccines in their backpacks. So that's the most important thing, in my opinion, that you have to get them to realize, is that they are being murdered with vaccines. Go ahead.
During the build-up to the Worldwide Peaceful Protest, I was speaking to Robert in great length, and he told me some rather disturbing facts, really, of what's happened at his orphanage or around the area, that I don't know what you would call them, I would say the militia through the government are coming through into the orphanage and have stolen children. They have raped the young children, you know, mostly girls, obviously, and drawn in life. I don't see why they're paying between £20,000 and £40,000 in debt before they've even got the job. And you know, they may go off that because there's so much stress going on because of that. So I've said that if we go over there and rebuild their orphanage and then try to interconnect with the other six that are also in his area, I think there's a belief there's about five or six and the other orphanages within the area of where Robert is, and I want to connect them all together, you know, having running water, proper sanitation, just the basics of, you know, I mean, you know, a decent bed to sleep in, do you know what I mean? Better conditions, you know.
I agree with you, Sam. However, they have been living in these conditions for eons. The main thing that has to be stopped is the raping and murdering of their children and their inoculation with disease, creating zombies. You know, in my opinion, you know, you're, as far as I'm concerned, you're getting a little scattered. You know, what is your focus? I thought your focus was that you were going to stop stealing of the children. That is our focus.
You know what I mean? I started One Voice for the Kids, really. The first remit really was to challenge the government on how sex offenders and paedophiles were sentenced in this country, because the lack of sentence is the lack of term that they do isn't enough for the victim or the survivor of that particular crime, and they don't get the victim or the survivor does not get any time taken off their sentence. And I'm thinking, well, why should the perpetrator? What makes them so different? The difference is that when a paedophile goes to prison, they don't have access to children. So of course they're going to rehabilitate and they're going to look like a pillar of society. So therefore they're going to be released.
The people prosecuting them are pedophiles. The government is controlled by pedophiles. They are only prosecuting the ones who are not Masons. Okay? So this is a distraction. I think you're being distracted. I think you're being infiltrated. People are telling you, oh, you have to get involved. Go to Uganda, build some water wells. No. Okay? If we don't stop the raping, torturing, murdering, and abduction of children, that is the main goal, in my opinion. This is happening worldwide. Okay, we have Alex on the line. I would just like to bring him in for a comment. Go ahead, Alex. Are you there, Alex? Okay, I guess Alex is not on the line. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm actually on the phone this time. I've finally gotten through, and
okay.
You're you're absolutely right about the infiltration thing. I think it's clear that our friends from Israel aren't our friends. Always under the guise of protecting us, they're killing us through our own defense departments and every system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's good that you pounced because it's necessary. We need to wake people up that are trying to help. And if they're being played like a fiddle from hell by these very ancient and tried and true techniques, it's important to sort of get them to be aware of it. And if the guy's got his, you know, he might have the best of intentions, but these techniques are very, very well devised and cunningly contrived well in advance. And you can see that by how you've exposed the devastation caused by forced vaccination or vaccination and how it was all planned decades in advance. You know, the Obamacare insurance system, et cetera, being a case in point.
Right, and I've lived this for 15 years, so I'm not criticizing Sam. Sam has to become more aware of infiltrators because the work he's doing is so important, so people are going to come in and say, oh, Sam, let's do this, let's do that. How many things can one group do? Okay, you have to maintain your focus on what your focus is. Because there's nothing more important than the destruction and murder of children. That's how they're destroying the family. Forget building water wells in Uganda. They haven't had wells for a long time. If you teach them to not take the needle, they'll be fine. At least for the, you know, short term, until we can get rid of the psychopaths that control the world. That's my opinion. Go ahead, Sam.
No, I mean it's a valid opinion, Dr. Carley. I mean, you know, it's just one of the projects that I am involved with. You know, it's just another extension of One Voice for the Kids. That's what we do. But
okay.
I want to bring on another point, if I may, and it goes back to the year 2000 in the UK. I don't know if if you remember it or read any of the papers what was happening in our country, but we had a petrol crisis, as you know. I've said this before. I want to know how many parents who have had their children removed or stolen by the state, how many of them protested about the fuel prices? It's a very valid point because it makes a lot of sense to me, because if you're protesting about prices of fuel, then does that tell me, does your children not matter? Or that you're more concerned with the rocket high fuel prices compared to your children's welfare and their well-being. You know, this is the point I've been trying to raise for ages. But then on the other side of the coin, there's another question I would like to ask. During the early 60s and 70s, the gay community was starting to come out a bit more. Do you know what I mean? They were starting to come out. And then during the late 70s, early 80s, they were, you know, their presence was well known, especially in the UK. And every time they do it like a gay pride march, there's hundreds and thousands of them. Now they've changed two laws. They've now managed to be able to have, you know, same-sex marriages. That's, you know, that's, okay, fair enough, good one. You know, they've managed to create a law. Or it's been okay. And the other one is that they're allowed to adopt babies. They're allowed to adopt children. But I want to know, how many of these same-sex marriages have had children removed by the same state?
Well, I would like to comment on that. First of all, I have thousands and thousands of clients. Many of them are homosexual. Never have I had a homosexual client who I did a history on that it didn't turn out they were sexually abused as children. So in my opinion, that's what causes homosexuality in most cases. That's first of all. Second of all, when I heard Obama came out and promoted that, yeah, we should have same-sex marriages, I laughed. I said, okay, gay people, welcome to the court system, because now they're going to be able to take away your children. Now the government is going to be able to be partners with you and your spouse. You think you won a victory? It's going to be funny how it all works out.
No, it's just, you know, I just want to see a connection. I haven't heard anything in this country, myself, me personally. I don't, I mean, there's other activists like myself, do you know what I mean, who, you know, here, you know, have got their ear to the ground on other issues. Compared to what I'm doing, I'm going for the whole spectrum of the whole child stealing by the state and who's controlling it and what's going on. But I need to see a connection. I need to hear from parents like that. Same-sex marriages. I need to hear from you. You know, because I need for my own knowledge, you know, because I need to see the connections. I need to understand a lot more. There's a lot of stuff that I don't know yet, and I know I will know eventually.
Now that they're being allowed to get married, you will hear that. But I just want to point out once again, it's very important for people to realize we're talking about the psychopaths that control the world, and they have one agenda, which is to destroy the earth, destroy families, decrease the population by 90%. And they have many ways of doing that. It's the branches of the tree of evil. I go against the root, and that is the psychopaths that control the world. So that's fine. In time, you will hear from the gay people that have been allowed to get married. They will lose their children. They will be stolen, abducted, and tortured, and killed by the state. That will happen. But in the meantime, I encourage you to keep doing what you're doing.
I mean, there's you know, the Skegness in, well, the debate in Skegness in Lincolnshire, that, as Andrew has pointed out, is a good one. I mean, it's never, nothing like that has happened in this country yet. And there's been many conferences and protests I've been to, and The biggest problem I have is when people say that they're going to do this and they're going to do that, and they don't. And you know, I mean, look, I'm not bothered by that anymore. It used to bother me, but now it doesn't. I'm still going ahead with it, whether you're with me or you're not. It doesn't bother me anymore. And when they say that it's not happening to me, so it doesn't affect me, well, it's not happening to me, and it does affect me. It does affect me, because my fellow human beings are being, you know, totally betrayed by the system that is there to govern and, well, no, sorry, not to just govern, but to protect the very people. Do you know what I mean? And they're not doing what they say they're doing.
Okay.
You know, and this is more the reason why many of us, worldwide, it's not a UK problem. It's not an American problem. It is a worldwide epidemic. It needs to be sorted out, and you need to get off your backside, and you need to do something now. It's not going to wait. It's not going to wait anymore. You have to do it now. Because if you don't, as you keep referring to, Dr. Carly, you're better off dead.
Right.
You know what I mean? Well, if you haven't got a conscience, you're better off dead and just stay out of the way of the people that want to do something. Do you know what I mean? It's that simple.
Right. Well, you also have to realize there's a divide and conquer strategy. You know, get the young against the old. Get the whites against the black. Get the gays against the straights. Get the religions against each other. It's all a divide and conquer strategy. And this is what they've been doing for eons to keep people from joining together. As I say all the time on my show, we have two groups of people. We have people with a conscience, and we have psychopaths. Period. Those are the two groups. And you can easily spot who's who in the zoo. And that's what we have to go after. And we have to stop you know, just concentrating on one aspect. That's why I was so glad to hear Andrew talking about when you do your show, you're not just going to comment on the abduction of the children, but all the other things that are going on, that they're killing the children with vaccines, they're experimenting on them with psych drugs once they get put in quote-unquote care. They're destroying the planet, they're destroying our food, they're destroying the water, they're destroying the air. The list is endless. Once you understand the big picture, that's when you realize that all of these groups that have a particular interest have to get together and help stop the psychopaths from their global agenda, because they have so many ways that they're destroying our lives and creating a hell on earth. That's why we have to stop them. We cannot just peacefully protest. I'm not telling you to not have a peaceful protest. Go ahead and have a peaceful protest. But at some point, there's going to come a time when a SWAT team comes through my door and wants to bring me to FEMA camp. It's not going to happen. There comes a time when you have to be a lion and say, you are not going to take me and kill me or put me in a concentration camp. That's what's going to have to happen. And I'm not telling anybody what to do. That's what I have deduced from my experiences for 15 years.
I mean, my conscience has been telling me that it's not a choice. I do what I'm doing. I'm doing it for duty. It's my duty to do this, you know. And again, I'll say it again because it's important to me that I don't want. It's not about gratification. It's not about being a hero. It's about doing what's right for you, for the world. Really, it's not just about my own country. I'm doing it for everybody. I'm not standing up for my own children, you know. But
I know I'm in the same camp. My son's already been destroyed. I'm not doing what I do for my son. He's already toast. I'm doing this because we're talking about the extinction of the human race. That's what we're talking about on all levels. And it's time for us to stand up and say no. No more. And that's why I hope that, you know, despite Mr. Cameron not giving you permission to have your protest, that not only will you have your protest, but you will have thousands of people there. If I could get on a plane, which I can't because I will not go through the TSA scanners and have my DNA unraveled, I would be there. I will be there on Skype. But the people have to turn out. You know, I think more attention should be given to your protest than is given to the Olympics. Because, you know, depending on when the athletes get their vaccines, probably most of them will be dead or very, very sick anyway. So I don't think there's going to be much to watch.
No, I totally agree with that. You know, as Andrew touched on it earlier on, I just think it is kind of car crashy, really. You know, when you think about they're going to come over here, before they get over here, they're going to be vaccinated anyway, and they get a cheap flight and probably a cheap hotel too. Fantastic, good on you. But you know, that's to me, it's not all. I'm not so bothered by this Olympics. Do you know what I mean? I don't really particularly care about it. You know, it's not affecting my life any by people running around the track, or chucking a javelin or a hammer throw, whatever. I don't really care. You know, this means nothing to me. Certainly the protest, you know, is going to go ahead, and the idea is to get in the faces of as many lenses as we can. You know, and that's the main emphasis, to cause a bit of disruption to the actual process. Now, if we can get some messages out beforehand and getting ourselves onto, you know, various different radio shows and say, look, this is going to happen, you know, the social networking ways is not working anymore. The people just don't listen. You know what I mean? And as my father used to say to me, none so blind are those who won't listen. You know, and it proves his point. You know, they say the right things, but they're not standing up. They're not prepared to do it. You know what I mean? It's not happened to me. It's not to say it won't. You know what I mean? Because I am a good person. I have got relatively good intellect. You know what I mean? I've got good knowledge. And I believe that I'm a good person. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it still can happen to me. And even if it did happen to me, I would stand up I would camp outside. I would do whatever it took and to get my children back. It's easy to say it when it's not happening to you. But that doesn't mean that I don't have the conscience to say that just because it's not happening to me, that it doesn't affect me. It does, because it's happening to people I know. And for that reason, I will stand up for my own beliefs, and I'll stand up for them, and I'll stand up for everybody in this world who've gone through this system. You know what I mean? And continue to battle through the system.
Okay, I'm going to keep encouraging to get rid of that word belief. Because it's not that you believe this. You have evaluated cases. You know what's going on. But Andrew wants to make a comment. Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Sam, the only thing I agree with you on that, Facebook is exactly like you're describing, but I think there are other forms of social network ways that do work through marketing and the internet. It's just Facebook is a problem, because they only want to go on there to talk about rubbish, and they're not really interested. You know, I mean, I'll give you an example, a bit like the Jerry Springer show, you know. I've lost my kids, but I haven't got no money to do anything about it or go to a protest. Some people had walked thousands of miles. If they thought at the end of the tunnel, they'll be educated with the truth. I mean, Facebook is, it can just go away.
Well, Facebook is CIA, and Alex Hunter has had a lot of experience with that. He's constantly trying to put out the truth. maybe Alex could come on and talk a little bit about what he's experienced. You can't count on Facebook because it's totally monitored and basically, you know, not allowed to happen when you're really getting into the important stuff. Are you there, Alex? Okay. I guess he's been cut off. He said, he writes, we are attacked on every social networking, to say nothing of the attack from every side. Okay, so, are you there, Alex? No, he's been cut off.
No, maybe
okay.
Not.
So, the point is, yes, we can, you know, with a quote-unquote Arab uprising, which was a total CIA operation, you know, they try to get us to believe that Twitter and Facebook was behind all of it. No, CIA was behind it, okay? All of these other entities are controlled by the CIA. But we find other ways to get around it, such as internet radio like this. And, you know, we have to spread the word from person to person in a grassroots format. That's how it's going to happen. But, in fact, I just want to also say again, Sam, that there's nothing more important than what you're doing. Please don't let yourself get diverted by minions that are going to come in and tell you, oh, you got to go build walls in Uganda. That's great, okay? But you don't have enough funds and enough people to do everything. What you're doing is the most important thing, to bring attention to the worldwide global pedophile cabal, the kidnapping of our children, the destruction of families by the psychopaths that control the world. There's nothing more important than that. And that's why you're being infiltrated. And I'm not saying this Robert from Uganda is one of those guys. He's got lots of problems. I think that there's other people that are coming in and trying to divert your attention to other things that are not going to have the global impact that you're going to have with this Olympic protest.
No, I agree. I mean, the Olympic protest, I mean, it's, you know, the world's media, the world's attention is going to be there. It's at our disposal, which is, you know, it's never been utilized as good. Do you know what I mean? It's never, you know, no one's ever took it up before. So, you know, yeah, we are going to cause a bit of disruption, but peacefully, you know, and then, you know, but this is only going to work if people want it to work. You know what I mean? And what's it going to take for you to stand up for the right thing? What's it going to take? Does it have to happen to you first before you actually do something about it? You know,
yes,
is that what it's going to take?
Unfortunately, yes. Unfortunately,
then
yes.
Then that's
unfortunately,
wrong.
Unfortunately, yes. That's why I do my show, to let them know they have been affected. If your children haven't been stolen, they have been inoculated with disease, they've been made sick or killed, your loved ones are being killed in the hospitals, the courts are totally corrupt. You know, that's why I talk about the big picture. Because if they don't have...
I can't. Sorry, I was just going to say, I can't prove it yet, do you know what I mean? But, the vaccines that, you know, all the children are being given, I don't know if Mr. Cameron's son died because of that, you know what I mean? But he had a rare form of epilepsy, so I don't know if it was induced by that. Who knows? You know, I'm still digging on that. I'm still trying to find out because I would love to know. Because if that's the case, then we've got something we can, you know what I mean? I've got some leverage there. I say, well, look, the same vaccine.
No. These people have no conscience. They have no conscience. They're willing to sacrifice their own children. Rockefeller, I forget the first name, the Rockefeller that's in Congress now, his wife has colon cancer. He announced that she was going to go through chemo and radiation. Okay? His father used homeopathy. They know what actually heals people. But he was willing to sacrifice his own wife because he owns Big Pharma, and so he's not going to come out and say anything different, that she's not going to go through the cutting and the burning and the radiation and all the rest of it. These people are willing to sacrifice their own. So it doesn't matter if Cameron's son died of epilepsy from vaccinations. You think he's going to admit it? He's never going to admit it, because then he's going to lose all his power. That's the way it is. I'm just telling you what I have learned over all these years. People that have a conscience will kill their own. They don't care. That's the definition of not having a conscience. They don't care. So, yeah, they have children and they spawn their descendants to carry on their bloodline. And if their bloodline doesn't make it, well, then that's the way it goes type thing. I mean, they're willing to sacrifice their own children. The people in these high-level groups, the Illuminati, the Luciferians, they sacrifice their own children. They submit them to MK-Ultra mind control. They don't care. See, that's one of the problems that we have. People with no conscience cannot even conceive of the evil of the people that are psychopaths. That's the problem. And I know that. I have faced these monsters for 15 years. My son's father sacrificed his son. I watched it happen. Okay? That's how I learned about evil. And we're back with the last segment of What's Ailing America, where our answer today has been Destruction of the Families, with my guests Andrew Peacher and Sam Edwards from One Voice for the Kids. Are you there, Alex?
Yes, I am. I'm on the phone this time.
Okay,
our mic
go ahead.
Our mic keeps getting switched off to some AMC mic thing, but from cyberspace, only when we're on the air. And our cell phone signal keeps dropping out with increasing frequency and for increasing durations of time. So we're being isolated from talking to people on electronic communication constantly. And as you know, we're constantly under some form of sabotage and electronic behavior modification or attack.
And your social media, your Facebook and all the rest of it, too. That's one thing I wanted to bring forward to Andrew and Sam, to make them realize that once you start getting into the important stuff, there's going to be sabotage at that level as well.
Right. It's not just Facebook. It's YouTube. We lost tens of thousands of hours of work on YouTube. Our YouTube channels are virtually useless now through algorithmic censorship and algorithmic censorship through Facebook as well. Any social networking sites, any of the things where you go on, use something, use Victoria, use Vancouver, with Craigslist, etc. We have absolutely no electronic communication of any sort which is effective any longer. I'm kind of surprised I'm still on this call saying this, but of course we know that might be just to make it look not true, to call into question.
No, there is a force for good. I don't call it the man in the sky, but there is a force for good. But I just want to bring that forth, and we have to keep on trying and doing all the things we do, because sometimes the word does slip through. And so I'm not saying not to use these things, but to basically realize that you're being listened to on all different, modalities.
Yeah, there's absolutely no component of the communication that's a complete control of information, and any which is really effective. Like, your radio show is about the hardest hitting in the world that I've heard at all, and I listen to a lot of them, and it tells the brutal truth, so that's why you're being subject to so much electronic censorship and sabotage and attack, and so are we. And on the smaller scale, the smaller fish are being fried first. And what's happening to us is coming up the pike to everybody in larger talk show radio. And it's all going to be under the guise of just technical failures. And they'll blame it on some solar flares. Or they're making up all kinds of things they can blame it on. It could just be the aerosol they say they're spraying on us to protect us from global warming. But
right.
Whatever the case may be, it's all a big psyop. So I think Sam wants to say something, so I'll just get out of the way and carry on. And I really appreciate your work. We're trying to drum up support for you, but it's being drowned right out in cyberspace, so we'll have to find a new way to do it. We made signs at the May Day rally.
Right, but we'll keep on doing it because, see, the fact that they're trying to drown it out is proof pudding in itself that the minions do not want this information to get to the public. And that in itself is going to wake up any people. So I try to, look at things with a glass half full here in hell, that, everything that they're doing to try to shut us up is waking up more people. And I can tell you that I know that's true because of the 1,000 emails a day that I get, and many calls. People are realizing that we have a problem. They just don't know what to do. So, Sam, I want to give you an opportunity to close out the show and talk about whatever you want to talk about. I'm very excited that you're going to be joining OrionTalkRadio.com shortly with your own show to help bring this knowledge to the world as well, because this station does have a worldwide audience. And we have no choice but to carry on, because we're dead. If we do nothing, we are dead. Our families are destroyed, period. We have nothing to lose. And it's an amazing situation to be in. Go ahead. Are you there?
Okay. Yeah, I'm here, yeah. You know, I appreciate what Alex has just said, and, you know, I am, although I'm still very much a novice to this subject, you know what I mean, and I'm learning every day of something more sinister, and I refer to, you know, the child stealing by the state, not only is it a perpetual financial system, but I also refer it to the blanket or an ugly facade. Because in our particular country, it's helping to fund the New World Order. That's my personal opinion. I don't know if I'm correct, but that's how I see it. And if we took the blanket away, then the people of the UK would see the New World Order as what we're doing to help it form.
Okay, I have to disagree with you. It's happening everywhere. It's happening
everywhere.
For the New World Order. It's not just the UK. It's funding the New World Order. Go ahead.
It's not a case of disagreeing with what I said. I'm talking about, you know, it is a global problem. We know that. What I'm saying is for the UK public to allow them to understand it, and just in our particular country, they have to understand that when you say the New World Order, world means the world as a whole. It doesn't mean just the UK, because the UK isn't just one part of the world. It is one part of the world, but but what I'm saying is that for the UK public that we're trying to make awareness to, they have to understand that the blanket of child stealing by the state is covering up the New World Order, because it's being funded by our country. You know, 1% of it is coming from our country. That's what I see. But the essence of what we're trying to do is that, you know, how simple do you want to put it? I mean, you could put it as simply as the less people we have in standing up, the longer it takes.
Right.
The more people we have, the quicker it can happen. Who knows?
Right.
But there's logic. I work with logic. I don't work with theories. I work with fact, or in its pure logic. And if it, you know, personally, if it can't work, or there's no logic behind it, it don't work. It will never work. And this New World Order is a testament to that. It will never work. We know that. And we have to, as you say, we have to wake up the world. That it's not just what's ailing America. It's not just what's ailing the UK. It is, you know, it is ailing the whole world as a collective. But you are dead if you don't do anything about it. It's simple. How simple do you want to keep it? I mean, a slogan called KISS in this country, or as Ron's called it, you know, keep it simple, stupid. It doesn't take a scientist to work this out. But the more people that, you know, stand up, who've had this happen to them, especially the parents, the grandparents, these young mums are being deemed not bright enough to have children. They should be standing up. It's easy to say it from a point of view that it's not happened to you yet. And I emphasize the word yet. It still could. You know, but they pick the wrong person if they do. However, you know, we all say that. We all say that. Okay? We can all say that.
And I just want to also state that one of the most important ways that they're actually trying to convince us that there's nothing we can do is by basically making us believe that there's nothing we can do. That whole fear mentality, you know, Obama's coming up with all these executive orders, the National Defense Authorization Act, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that. Well, it's all illegal, so I ignore all of it, okay? By them making people believe that there's nothing they can do, then they've already won. So what I tell people is, it's all garbage, okay? These traitors can't make such laws. because they are traitors. Traitors cannot make laws preventing them from being charged with crimes against humanity. So you ignore it all. And that's what people have to do, is get out of the fear mode, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly that. You know, I mean, I know it doesn't cut much ice. I've mentioned it before on a previous show that, you know, I've started a, I did start a petition, and it's still going as far as I know. But I'll probably walk the steps that others won't. And I think that's what's mostly scary to some of the people I work alongside. They think they don't realize just how far I am prepared to go. Now, if I can, I don't know, have Cameron arrested or any politician, the Prime Minister, doesn't have to be, it might not be him, it could be somebody else, I don't care. You know, if I have to have that person arrested for crimes against the people, then that's what I'll do. You know, if I can do it, I'll do it. I'm sure I can do it, you know what I mean? I just have to find the legal steps to do so. Andrew said it there. I will bring down the government if I have to.
Okay, forget the legal steps. There are no legal steps to bring down the government. You will be labeled as a terrorist. If we can get the military at the low levels to realize that they are supposed to protect us from enemies from within, then they can take care of business. If they can't be woken up because they're being brain damaged with vaccines, being chipped with microchips, being mind controlled with various techniques, then we have to do it. Okay, forget legally. There's no such thing as legally, because what they're doing is not legally.
Well, we know that, but I mean the point you quickly raised about the military, we can't use that in this country. It doesn't work like that.
Right, because they're already
in this particular country, you know, in our military, that doesn't happen.
Right.
I've got that confirmed on various occasions. But
right.
You know, the whole point of doing what I'm doing, you know, what I mean, and I will push, and I'll keep pushing, I'll keep pushing, I'll keep fighting, I'll keep fighting. You know what I mean? Until we make, you know, until it works, until it, you know, we find somewhere.
At OrionTalkRadio.com, you could say that we're all talk.
Later proved to be connected to drug smuggling and incurred a $50 million fine for failing to monitor cash.